to the top 20 in a bath. There's nowhere to be found.
Disgusting.
They did, however. Number 18 is Rob Zombie, Electric Warlock and Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration, which we kicked the show off with.
Half point.
But this is, for those of you not familiar with Revolver, Revolver is kind of like appeals to the lowest. I don't want to say that.
But I don't want to say it either. But most, I bet they really like.
They try to reach the most diverse audience.
Yeah.
So like.
It's the biggest.
Your deathcore fangirls would read Revolver. They would not read Decibel.
No.
Decibel tries to appeal to all the most mainstream areas of the genre.
Yes.
So like, and they have their tried and true bands that they stick with. Like number 20, Devil Wears Prada. Now I'm a big Devil Wears Prada fan. Transit Blues should not be on any year end list. I'm sorry. But that was number 20. Zach Wilde's on this list at 17.
Hell yeah.
Switch Engage number 16. So good local representation. Alter Bridge makes the list. What was the other band? Of Mice and Men. Volbeat is number 7. Avenged Sevenfold at number 3. Like, that's just bad because that's just a bad album.
This is the top.
A good
Revolver.
Band, bad album. This is still Revolver. They do have Meshuggah at 4. Because then it's funny because it's clear that they have, like, they know their stuff too. And it kind of comes through sometimes on these year end lists because Meshuggah is number 4. You got Gojira at 10, Nails at 11. And Tombs at 19. So it's kind of like, where did some of these bands come from? On the same list as like Volbeat and Alter Bridge. And then number 1, they have Metallica, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. Number 2, Megadeth, Dystopia.
Yeah, I don't...
Deftones at number 5.
That's fine. I thought Hardwired to Self-Destruct is fine. It's number 1 on the Rolling Stone list. So in the ranking of lists...
Also real quick, I just want to say that Lacuna Coil comes in 12th on this list. Lacuna Coil, surprisingly highly rated by even the most... some of the more elitist metal fans,
more, like,
which is surprising.
Looking over their glasses at you fans like myself.
That band, though, like they feel like they squander one of the greatest resource. I feel like Lacuna Coil sometimes is like the Seahawks at the 1 yard line where they
just
decide,
let her sing.
Instead, like Christina Scabbia is like the what's his name in that situation?
She's like, beast mode.
She's like beast mode. And it's like, you know what? We're gonna let the dude sing a bunch of songs. And
get
it's
him
like,
out
what
of
are
there.
You doing?
Get him out of there. Yeah, that's real Monday morning quarterback of Lacuna Coil. I agree, though. Let that lady sing. She's like extremely talented.
She's so good. All right, so that's Revolver. That's our fun with Revolver. So they.
So not
third place.
So
out of
third
three.
Place in best list
they
because
come in distant bronze,
not included. Second place for best list
Look
of the year.
Album. That album cover.
I mean, I am looking at it right now. Second place for list of the year is Rolling Stone's top 20 metal albums of 2016. Number 20 is kind of a tough choice because it's like a real Rolling Stone choice because it's just the album you could get if you went to a Black Sabbath concert and you could only get it at the concert. So it's like, I went to the concert. I'm like,
it's a 4-song EP.
Yeah. That's good. I know you don't like you're not a huge fan, but I think you know they're good. But obviously they're only in second place in terms of lists because they put Aboth's album at 13.
Mm-hmm.
They did put Gorguts on here, Gojira's on here. Dark Throne is one that I want to talk about. They took 13th here. 15? Let me see. Yeah, Dark Throne, 15th. With their album this year, Arctic Thunder. I know we talked a lot about Dark Throne last week, but like. Really interesting band, like really getting into Fenriz and his partner and how they've changed. Like it's still Dark Throne, like it's still similar vocals, but it's not really black metal. It's more like punk now. It's actually almost like Motorhead with black metal like vocal and like a little bit heavier lyrics, but it's like they just do whatever and like everyone kind of loves it because they're just like he's just like cool guys. I'm just like, I want to like what you guys like. So yeah, Dark Throne in with 15 with Arctic Thunder. That's an album I think people should check out.
Just real quick, want to chime in here. You are listening to Brewer Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Numbers here to call in, 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 and 781-350-3264. Now back to your regular scheduled programming.
Best list, though? Decibels.
Oh, hold on. Do you want to talk about... the infatuation with Nails and Chemists this year?
Sure.
Because they're coming in 12 and 11 on the Rolling Stone list.
Yeah.
And those two bands this year, two albums this year, just I don't get.
I don't like them.
I don't get.
I mean, I get it. I've heard the title track from the Nails album, You'll Never Be One of Us, all the time on the Magic Radio. And it's just not... I guess it's not my thing. Like, it could be, you know, like, it depends on the situation, my frame of mind. And I could be like, yeah, punch something. But, like, most of the time, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
I do have to say that another band, or another album saw the rage, is the Cult of Luna, Julie Christmas mashup.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration, Mariner. Pretty cool track. That's one. So I'm very song-oriented as opposed to metal, or as opposed to album-oriented. So on my list, I always do, like, a song list instead of an album list.
Yeah.
So, like, Cult of Luna, Julie Christmas, there's no way you could pick a song off that album, because that's not what it is. But, like, it's a great album if you just, like, sit back and listen to and have, you know, want to listen to 12-minute songs of, like, a metal band and kind of a less metal female vocalist.
It's relaxing.
It is. It's nice. Deftones, again, top 10 on the Rolling Stone band, as is your boy, Dave Mustaine. Dillinger's Escape Plan. Sumac. Talking about some local representation, Aaron Turner, formerly of the band Isis, who you're listening to right now in the background, by the way. Top five, Meshuggah, two, and also Hardwired to Self-Destruct, number one on Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Odd choice, because I think that the Rolling Stone list came out like a week after that album came out. And I guess, like, if you're a magazine, obviously, and if you're Rolling Stone, you get the album early to, like, review it. But I was like, kind of let it ruminate a little bit, because I think over the years, I've been like, I like Death Magnetic, you know? And, like, when it came out, I was like, ha-ha, old guys. And then, like, as it's gone by, I'm like, yeah, Death Magnetic is good. And, like some songs on Hardwired to Self-Destruct are fine. Like, I like Spit Out the Bone, whatever, because it's, like, that's good Metallica. I don't really like Hardwired to Self-Destruct, the song. It's, like, too cheesy. Like, I like a good amount of cheese. Like, I like a, cheesy. But it was like, okay, buddy. Okay.
Yep.
Too much. Decibels list.
Coming in first place.
The list.
Ironically, and of course, as you would expect from Decibel, Metallica nowhere to be found in their top 40 albums of the year.
just rude. Just rude. I think it's in the top 40. But of course, they're, Decibel's list, number one list of the year, because Abath's Abath at five. They're number one, Chemist with Hunted.
Again, I tried to listen to that. Again, it was like five or six really long songs that are fine, but just not in my wheelhouse.
Nails with the You Will Never Be One of Us. It just beat down, just like, oh, it's so tough. And Oransi Pazuzu's with Vargelia.
Team Pazuzu being
Team Pazuzu with four. Abath's Abath at five.
Blood Incantation at number three.
Great. I mean, Gorguts is on there. I think we talked about Gorguts last week. Because the album is about the sacking of the, basically, the Persian library, the Iraqi library in the 1500s by, like, Mongols. So if you want to, like, learn a lot and listen to a really good album,
get an education while you listen to metal,
Gorguts, Pleiades Dust.
I was at number 10. I really like this because but the band Cobalt, their album Slow Forever, really solid album. So yeah, that rounds at the top 10 for Decibel. Just glad that they got wrapped. And then Trap Them, again, more local music, number 11. But Trap Them for me kind of falls in with Nails and some of those bands where it's just kind of like
two.
Like, it's not bad, and I like it, and I will certainly play it on the radio.
Yeah, no, totally.
But in terms of, like, my personal stuff, like, yeah, it's that genre that is good, but for me, they would not be on my list. Who else are they? Then they have, of course, Blood Ceremony on. Blood Ceremony, number 13, is a witchcraft, the singer. She plays flute.
Nice.
It's pretty interesting.
I didn't know that.
It's good stuff.
Now I'm going to get that.
They got Meshuggah, then a bunch of bands you can't pronounce, like Aluk Todolo at number 37 with Voix. Is that French?
I would hope so.
They have the Cult of Luna album at number 31 with Julie Christmas. Chitellalist, Le Dernier Crepuscule. That's definitely French. Bolzer. Some of these bands I've never even heard of in my life.
Well, you know. That's
why. As you said, Aransi Pazuzu.
Pazuzu! Pazuzu the Demon from Poltergeist.
Yes.
Wow, what do you think? Do a little music, come back, talk about Total Nonstop Deletion?
Oh, we got to talk about Total Nonstop Deletion. We got to talk about the year that was. And actually, real quick, Rolling Stone also just a couple days ago put out their top 10 horror movies.
Ooh.
Can you guess what number one was?
Don't Breathe.
The Vivitch.
Oh, okay.
Don't Breathe was number two.
All right.
Eyes of My Mother. Eyes of My Mother is kind of like some of these bands. Actually, no, that's a bad comparison. But Eyes of My Mother came in at number three. That's a movie that's like, yeah, it's a beautiful black and white movie to look at, but it's just like a cruel, pointless movie that I don't understand why it was made. Some of these movies are just, it's like, oh, here's a person that's kind of crazy, and kills people, and we're just going to show you this happen. I don't get it. Number four, The Invitation, fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
10 Cloverfield Lane at 5. You've got to get the pretentious entry at number 6, I'm the Pretty Thing That Lives Inside the House. 7 is Evolution. 8, Southbound. Southbound, I'm glad that it's on their list.
Evolution, the David Duchovny underrated vehicle from the mid-2000s.
Orlando Jones. No, Orlando that Jones. Is not Evolution.
Oh.
Southbound at number 8, I'm glad because I don't think anybody else has ranked this in there on any list, but it came out like in January. And that's a great movie. The Shallows, the Blake Lively feature.
Fighting the shark.
At number 9. And number 10, The Love Witch, which I've talked about plenty on the show. So anyway, I still have some movies to get through myself. The quest for 75 movies.
That's all so right. Many.
So we will be back to talk about 2016 and Total Nonstop Deletion here on Brutal Bunch. And let's see, what should we play next? How about a band that... All right, let's do this segue. So we play Gozu, which just signed with a branch of Metal Blade Records. And now we'll play a band that signed with Metal Blade Records last year, Abnormality. And they had a new album out this year called Mechanisms of Omniscience. And we will play you Cymatic Hallucinations from that album. Then we have some stuff from Vanna still to come, Force Asphyxiation, and of course our Black Metal Song of the Week. But first, here is Abnormality of Cymatic Hallucinations on Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
promise you this, I was a poor excuse for a man at best.
The threat of emptiness,
more like a sinkhole that doesn't let go. I drag everything and everyone I know below. I'm not a praying man, but I'm begging the sky. I keep my hands folded tight, so please save my life. You saw me searching. I was lost in a world, all alone and out of time. You gave me purpose. You gave me the world when you put your hand in mine.
And like a Holy Ghost, you show your face.
My heart, my soul found a place.
I call you church, cause when you're near, all my demons flee. There are no devils here. It's the way that you look at me, like you see everything that I'm supposed to be. And when my eyes look back at you, I see a future I never knew.
I promise you this, I was a poor excuse for a man at best. And when my eyes look back at you, I see a future I never knew. I see myself growing with you. You gave me roots, you led me. You let me be.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Brewer Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. You just heard Force Asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Hydra Sapien. And so backstory on that song real quick. They made an album called Terrifying Hydroponic Carnage. And the note behind it was, once upon a time we recorded an album, then re-recorded it, then re-recorded parts of it that were effed up because we're a bunch of lazy stoners. Well, we finally got that done, and here's a track from the brand new slash not so new album that you may or may not have heard us play live, depending on where you live or how smoked out your memory seems to be or not be. Look forward to the full length release this year, and perhaps another teaser song or two if you guys like what you hear. Until then, roll one up to this. And now you can roll one up to this,
I guess, so
in the state of Massachusetts, because we correctly predicted or correctly told people
we did
how to
we
vote.
Basically corrected everything except except for the big one.
We'll get back to that in a second, because the other song you heard, these levels, man, what is going on with the mics? All right, hopefully not breaking speakers anymore. All right,
yeah, let me test it
before oh no, you are all right, so we kicked off that set with Abnormality with Cymatic Hallucinations off their latest album Mechanisms of Omniscience. Vanna, that was a, so they came out with an album this year. Now I'm forgetting the name of it, but it was a, you know, typical Vanna metal album. And then they released an acoustic version of the song Flower, and that's what you heard. And we're going to be seeing Vanna as part of the 4-year strong big blowout.
We will.
Right, they're playing, on the 30th out of the Palladium. And then we just played Force Asphyxiation with Hydra Sapien off of Terrifying Hydroponic Carnage. So yeah, let's talk about the air. We will, we'll have Matt's Black Metal Song of the Week coming up.
That's good.
And then later, and then we'll come back and talk about Total Nonstop Deletion. Before we get to that, we are going to do all kind of an on-the-fly, brutal or not brutal.
All Hell is the Vanna album.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And so, let's go back to, back when we were all a little bit more innocent in January of 2016.
Yep.
And your boy, Eamon Bundy, decided to occupy federal lands, and one of his supporters got himself killed.
He did.
And then, of course, they were all acquitted, because everything makes sense in 2016. So, brutal, not brutal. The
acquittal?
The everything about the Bundys.
Not brutal.
Not brutal,
not brutal at all. I have a better story.
Oh, go right ahead.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Do you know what what a nutria is? N-U-T-R-I-A.
I do not.
A nutria is a giant river rat. It's about as big as a small dog. Or like, it's as big as your, like, collie-sized dog. They're a pest species. They, like, if they get out, they, like, ruin everything. They're a big problem in Russia, I guess parts of Russia. The nutria rats just run wild. And they are horrifying to look at. So there's a restaurant in Russia that is now just catching these things and cooking them into hamburgers. It's a rat burger.
There you go.
That, brutal or not brutal?
I mean, that's pretty brutal.
It's brutal.
You got a rat problem?
It's a rat burger. Just eat them. Just eat them. It's also humane.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure they're
out. Oh, man. Matt just pulled up Black Metal Song of the Week on the computer, and it's
get excited.
Amazing.
It's, yeah. Just, we'll let you know what it is when the time's on so you can follow along at home, because it's tremendous. In February, that was the issue with the San Bernardino phone, where they're trying to hack the phone, and
yes.
Apple says, no, we will not help you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Not on the shooting, but the phone incident. There's, like, literally, though, you scroll through this, every other incident is a shooting somewhere.
Yeah, it's been a bad year. Oh, you're looking at the CNN thing?
Yeah,
you
CNN
just love
timeline.
To just be depressed. Don't read all this.
This is a year review. It's 2016, but you're going to be depressed.
I mean, some good things happened this year. You know what? I'm tired of being negative.
What is good? What
it's
is
not.
Good?
It's brutal. So that was the thing where the guy. It was a husband and wife, basically, and they were Afghani nationalists or something. And they had said that he did it for ISIS and he whatever blah blah blah. But really, he was just a nut. He was just a disgruntled maniac, and then like found solace in other maniacs online who were like anti-American terrorists, essentially.
Yeah, but that was because that was 2015. The actual shooting happened,
and then they tried to get into his phone.
Yeah,
and then Apple's like, "No, we won't. We won't what? What was the issue? They wouldn't give the like allow them to crack into the phone.
Yeah, so like the FBI was essentially trying to hack it.
Okay, to like see what he was calling.
Yeah, like what his communications were, and but basically, so Apple said, "No, we're not going to help."
You're going to be surprised by my take, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I think Apple should just cracked it. Who, like, he's dead, and now we need the information. Apple already sold all your information to the government ridiculous.
I actually agree, because the whole
I don't care what happens to his privacy. He has no privacy. He's owed nothing.
His point of, yeah, I mean,
you're right.
You know, set a bad precedent with all this thing with Tom Brady. But anyway, Apple should, because one thing I have, this is my brutal take, is that the focus and concern, I'm not saying the government should get a pass on this, but the amount of time, energy, money, and protest that goes into the security stuff is kind of annoying.
You've already given your privacy away by having life a smartphone, so just relax.
Yeah, freaking out because Apple is going to set a bad precedent with these backdoor routes or whatever into your phone.
They exist.
As part of a criminal case against a mass murderer.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And they got it anyway. They got the information anyway with the help of an unnamed third party.
And like, it's an easy, it seems to me like a routine subpoena the phone records and just get them. And I don't like,
Apple's making a righteous stand,
but I don't,
stupid hell to die on.
I mean, I understand, like, you have to make a stand regardless of, like, if it's their position, but I feel like it's not their position. That's more what I'm saying. I believe in the Fourth Amendment and the right to privacy, which is implied in the Constitution. It's actually the word privacy is not in the Constitution.
Right. And that's, but, like, still,
or
like,
the Bill of Rights.
Like, this whole amendments. Movement to pardon. I believe Chelsea Manning should absolutely be pardoned, but, like, this whole thing about Snowden and your boy, what's his name, the actor who played Snowden, that stupid Snowden movie. He's like, oh, yeah, free Snowden, free Snowden.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I agree.
Nice job, Snowden, by the way.
But
Snowden,
also,
who said this was an election of Goldman Sachs versus Trump. Nice work there.
There's also, like, a thing where it's like, conceptually, I don't understand it. Whatever.
All right, let's get back on track here.
I'm off track here. I'm just angry about Apple.
So we had Cuba. And one, Matt Moore, started for the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays played the Cuban national team in Cuba with the presidents of both countries in the crowd. Chris Archer handed Barack Obama a baseball glove signed by Matt Moore. So that was exciting. I watched that game. That was during my spring break. Brutal, not brutal, the Cuban softening of Cuban relations.
It's brutal because I feel like I want to just get a Starbucks over there and just crush whatever was left of their, like, stupid Castro regime.
Do you know, there was a player for the Rays in their farm system from Cuba.
Yes, and they didn't know who he was, right?
Well, that's the thing. It was supposed to be the team had arranged a big thing and be like, all right, you have to agree not to arrest this guy, basically, when we bring him.
Yep.
And so he was reunited with his family, which was on camera. It was like a great feel-good moment, whatever. But the Cuban media suppressed it, so when he was announced before the game, the crowd just kind of gave, they cheered for him just like all the other Rays.
Yeah.
They had no idea the guy was from Cuba.
He's like literally like a neighbor of theirs.
Like he's like in tears, and the crowd is like, oh, that's a dude.
Outrageous.
We had the North Carolina incidents, including in March, the bathroom bill got signed by your boy, Pat McCrory.
Yeah, he's my boy. That's right. Jesus.
Let's see. Oh, some more shootings, some retirements. We had the announcement
a lot of people
that
died,
in April,
a lot of violence.
420, Harriet Tubman will replace Andrew Jackson on the face of the $20 bill. Which I think it might be the most brutal thing to happen this year.
It's pretty brutal. It hasn't happened yet, though.
Right. We had the class action lawsuit filed against the EPA as a result of what was happening in Flint with their drinking water.
Yep.
So, again,
nice looking out there, Environmental Protection Agency. Get on the stick.
We had, oh, May 28th. See, this is, again, this kind of got way overplayed. Like, I guess it's kind of funny again because people stopped making jokes about it, but a day that will go down in infamy, May 28th, 2016, the Cincinnati Zoo shoots and kills Harambe, a 17-year-old, 400-pound Western Lowland gorilla after a child slips into the animal's enclosure, as Chris the Mad Dog Russo said, right between the eyes.
Right between the eyes. I'll say this about Harambe, beautiful gorilla, but I was still wrapped up in the story from earlier in the year where there was like a super handsome gorilla in Japan. Do you remember that story? That was my favorite gorilla story.
Yeah, and they were like, people were falling in love with him or something?
Yeah, like he had a very there's obviously some whatever, not crossover because we didn't evolve from gorillas. I think I evolved from a gorilla, but others did not. But he had like a very human face. He had like very sharp features. And it's just like, people were just like throwing him love letters and stuff. Extremely handsome gorilla.
All right. And then, see, in June, we had the Pulse mass shooting and
the largest mass shooting. The next one.
Now I'm blanking on it, but I believe there was a song by a local band that was made and all proceeds went to Pulse. I'll have to go back and check that.
Just a great year this year, I think. Yes. I think that's what I'm taking away from 2016. Just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Let me see. See, I'm just still scrolling through here because there's so many shootings. July 12th, Bernie Sanders endorses Hillary Clinton for president.
Okay.
July 21st, your boy Roger Ailes resigns as chairman of CEO of Fox News.
Yep.
Due to sexual harassment allegations.
Yep.
We have the WikiLeaks leaks.
Leaking.
Again, this is why I can't stand, like, what started as, oh, the government spying on you led to Julian Assange throwing the election, basically.
Yep.
In a very twisted
kind of.
Just go with it.
But then at least we find out that John Podesta has terrible taste in art.
We had the...
that was my favorite WikiLeak. Just Podesta's brother being at that stupid Maria Abramovich thing.
Right, the blood.
And it was like, ugh, it's like, think about it, blood. Like, get out of here.
Holy crap. All I'm doing is scrolling through shootings.
2016, November 2nd, John Podesta's brother, a wedgie.
November 2nd, the Chicago Cubs win their first World Series since 1908.
Yay, Cubbies.
Hey, remember when the Cleveland Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series?
I do.
In great karmatic fashion.
Great great series. Great baseball this year.
That was
amazing.
I think
we can say
that.
Playoffs, great baseball season. Great playoffs.
Yes. People were enraptured, as they should have been. Hopefully,
not
it was the comeback.
Red Sox playoffs.
The comeback for baseball. Because football sucks. American football,
man.
That is. Association
powerful
football. Association football is glorious.
No, that's wrong.
And let me get a quick update here.
No, that seems to be incorrect what you just said. American football is fine. I'm going to go home and watch football and try to
Southampton's
fall
taking the lead on Bournemouth 2-1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Your boy Chris Christie found guilty. Or his officials
his,
found guilty.
Yeah, one
guilty.
Of his staff.
He had a great year, by the way.
He's just like, man, you can't win for losing that guy.
A lot of people dying.
He blew through his gastric bypass, too, this year, right? He basically, like, ate his way out of the stomach sleeve.
Man. Is that what happened?
So, basically, he had a sleeve put on. Not like the bypass surgery where they just make your stomach smaller. Your stomach can expand, as we know. Or as I know. But he had, like, the sleeve put on to restrict it. And he just, like, White Castled his way right through that bad boy. That must have been so painful.
But yeah, that was the year in national news. We won't go through international news, except the Olympics were this year, which I normally frown upon the Olympics. I think, as constituted, they are a giant waste of time. They're oppressive. They ruin people's lives in the host countries. They ruin countries. They caused
do.
The Great Recession in Greece, which triggered everything, like a global financial meltdown, basically.
You're not wrong. I just want to watch judo.
Watching the Olympics this year was pretty tremendous.
It was
the most fun I've ever had watching Olympics.
Fun Olympics.
The track events and the controversies. You had Abby D'Agostino go down with a torn knee ligaments. That incident with the
that's
one
right,
the New Zealand
running,
runner
yeah,
fell.
That's right.
And this is the thing. Again, I'm gonna harp on this for the rest of my life. But Abby D'Agostino gets a lot of credit for like having the Olympic spirit, and now they helped each other up. That wasn't the impressive part. The impressive part was that she ran because I believe that was
she
the,
ran with her like
the 5K
five
is a or the 3K. I forget not 3K. The five K. And she ran like a third of the race on torn knee ligaments.
Yeah.
Like, that's the impressive part. Like, I don't care that it was cool. Yeah, they hugged or whatever and they helped each other finish. But she ran. You know how painful
like,
that is? And she ran
no.
at a pace that is faster than the majority of humans.
Yeah, imagine how bad running is. Now imagine it with no knee ligaments.
Yeah.
Like,
it's she
knee,
finished the race.
So her knee bone was just banging into her. I'm a doctor and I want to say her knee bone was just banging into her shin bone.
There you go. There's the prognosis.
Gross.
So
brutal.
That was the year. And that was brutal. That was one of the most brutal moments
of
the year.
Because usually your disgusting injuries are for the weightlifting, which is what I watch.
Sure. There were more disgusting weightlifting injuries this year.
There was that guy from Belarus, and he put the weight over his head, and his elbow just went, boop, and just like went backwards. And for a minute, he was like, I'm good. And then he's like, just like, oh, yeah. His arm turned inside out.
We had my boy from Finland who passed out in the middle of a lift.
he just
fell off stage.
He said he does that a lot.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it happens.
You got to make a lot of internal pressure to like get that weight up. Big boys.
I think Finland, actually, my home away from home that I've never visited, but my ancestral lands, Finland came back with zero. No, they got one. So judo medals are like bizarre how they work. But I think they wound up with like a silver or gold medal in judo the way the score worked out, like one of those tournaments.
Yes.
So I think they had all of one medal. Usually like they kill it in Paris and some of the individual sailing events, and they bombed out of that event.
Lame. Yeah, judo was awesome this year. There was a lot of good storylines too, especially like the men's heavyweight where there was that, I think it was Egyptian judoka is what you call the guys who do, guys and gals who do judo, and he refused to shake hands with the guy from Israel because of because he's an anti-Semite, and the Israeli guy flipped him right on his back and took the gold medal. I was totally polite about it. It was an amazing show of everything I like about sports and life.
And that, oh, so it was women's boxing, not judo, that Finland won their medal. And then you had the Japanese wrestler.
Well, boxing is absurd in the Olympics.
Well, it's obviously corrupt.
I'm going to say they bought
the tournaments don't make any sense. Like, they split them, they share the medals too. I don't know how it works. But anyway, then you had the Japanese wrestler who won, and then like her coach came running on to congratulate her, and you just started.
Oh, she slammed
started doing
him.
It three times in a row. That was great. All right, so enough of that talk. We have about 20 minutes here left on Brutal Brunch. If you want to call in, 855-915-WMFO, that's 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. We have one more local song to get to. Before that, and we also have to talk about Total Nonstop Deletion real quick. Before that is Matt's metal song, Black Metal Song of the Week. Why don't you take it away?
Am I going to get my good intro?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Oh.
To the segment. No. No.
Oh, wait, what are you talking about?
The Black Metal Song of the Week intro.
We don't have an intro.
Oh, I thought we did. Didn't we have the thing from
are you talking about the Lich King thing?
Lich King when they go.
Yeah, but it's usually like right before the song is.
Oh, you know what? I'm not feeling too good today. Alright, so okay, here we go. We talked a lot about him today. It's your boys from Immortal. It's Abeth and the gang. Doing Call of the Winter Moon. You would know this song from its music video, which is extremely bad.
If you've seen the movie Deathgasm,
if you saw the movie Deathgasm, you understand what they're kind of making fun of. It's just a bunch of guys in corpse paint running around, blowing fire at each other, putting their legs up on trees. They are in the ruins of a monastery in Norway.
Yes.
And they're just jumping off little hills and like running up and down, and it's like filmed in the middle of the day, so it makes it even crazier. The band has said that the music video is one of their biggest mistakes, and they're kind of embarrassed by it. And Abbott said, like, look, we did the entire thing in 2 hours, and we kind of rushed into it, so what do we expect? So this is Immortal's Call of the Winter Moon by Immortal. Please watch the video when you have the chance.
So yes, here is Immortal, Call of the Winter Moon, Black Metal Song of the Week on Brutal Brunch.
All right.
That was your black metal song of the week.
It's
the
so
Call
good.
Of the Winter Moon by Immortal.
Please watch.
Hopefully you're watching the video at
There's
home.
There's a wizard.
It's amazing. It's indescribable.
All right, so again, this is Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
You have a couple more minutes to call in, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. If you would like to talk about total nonstop deletion, delete. All right, so should we give a quick background here?
Yes.
What this was, if people missed it, fill them in.
Yes. So, do you want to do it? Because I can barely do it. The Hardys, Jeff and Matt Hardy.
It goes back to...
Let's go all the way back to WWE.
Well, yeah.
The Hardy Boys. They wrestled in sweaters, like the actual Hardy Boys from novels.
But so very quickly for TNA, they both have been in TNA for a while, just been back there for a long time. And Matt came back and at some point became Broken Matt Hardy. I don't even know how it happened initially.
He just was like, wanted to.
Was trying to pick a fight with his brother, basically, Jeff, who he referred to as Brother Nehru. And so he would lure him onto the Matt Hardy compound down in Cameron, North Carolina.
Yep.
And try to get him to, I don't know, do whatever.
Yep. Gave him side effects onto a kitchen table.
Yes.
And that's how it started.
Threw a baby at him. And this was all Matt Hardy's compound. And eventually they had a match, which the initial match have a name for the match that took place.
Deletion.
I think the final deletion of Matt Hardy or whatever. Yeah. Basically, Broken Matt Hardy defeated Jeff in their backyard wrestling ring, which involved piles of dirt and a rusty boat named Skarsgård.
Yep.
And
fireworks.
A drone named Vanguard One, fireworks, Senor Benjamin.
Yep.
And Reeby Sky, Matt's wife, and King Maxwell, the baby. So by winning, Matt basically got to control Jeff, and then Jeff started to have his own mental breakdowns and at times became the narcoleptic itchweed.
Yes.
I'm sure.
I wrote down a note when I was watching Total Nonstop Deletion, which was so basically like it's like Matt Hardy's like overproduced, or the Hardy Boys like kind of like overproduced, but it still kind of looks like crap. It looks like you would do in your like high school, like, you know, like TV club class.
Jeff riding around on a motorbike.
Yeah. So,
bike.
Total Nonstop Deletion was like a whole episode.
Right. And before that, though, they feuded with Decay at the compound.
Yes.
And Willow made several appearances.
He did. Jeff Hardy's alter ego, Willow, who's a man with an umbrella.
Yes.
And a fun mask.
Who once terrified Rockstar Spud. Total Nonstop Deletion was an entire 2 hours taking place on the compound where the Hardys had to prove that they were the greatest tag team in the world. Otherwise, natural disasters would engulf all of Cameron, North Carolina, and destroy it.
And it's funny because it's a little riff on, I think, the WWE pushing that the New Day are going to be the longest reigning tag champs ever, beating Demolition, who's the longest reigning tag team in the WWE. And Demolition was created to be the longest running tag team in the WWE to punish Hawk and Animal, the Road Warriors, because Vince was like on the outs with them because they kept testing positive for steroids.
Speaking of which, Brock Lesnar just tested positive for steroids
again,
and is suspended for an entire year by the UFC.
So Total Nonstop Deletion was like really basically.
So they had Tag Team Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
It was an open invitational. They invited the Day of New.
All tag
and
teams.
The Day of New and the Bucks of Youth. Because those names are copywritten. But it started out with a match, Rockstar Spud versus King Maxwell.
Yep.
And King Maxwell pinned Rockstar Spud.
Yeah, a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old pinned
This is after
Rockstar
he
Spud.
Previously had pinned Disco Inferno.
He did pin Disco Inferno clean.
We watched, like, the week before this
clean.
On Sunday in a 2000 Nitro.
Oh, yeah, man. Disco Inferno's the greatest.
And with that, Nitro also featured 3 Count.
That's right.
And in the middle, with Tank Abbott, and in the middle of Tag Team Apocalypto.
Basically what happened during the whole night is like people would like come back and turn into their middle of the century wrestling gimmick where it was like Shane Helms had been the manager of Trevor Lee and the other guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
I can't think of. Good wrestlers.
The Helms Dynasty.
He got pushed into the Lake of Reincarnation.
This was after Matt was pinned and Skarsgård bailed him out by hitting Trevor Lee in the head.
A boat hit.
So they then started attacking the boat. And then the boat knocked Shane Helms into the Lake of Reincarnation.
And he came back as Shane Helms from 3 Count. The circles were placed on the ground, and he did the 3 Count dance with Trevor Lee and...
Andrew Everett, who did the Alex Wright dance.
He did the Alex Wright dance, that's right. And then when he found out that they weren't Evan Courageous and Shannon Moore, he got mad.
And then he got knocked back into the Lake of Reincarnation and came back as the Hurricane.
As the Hurricane.
And and turned on the Helms Dynasty, helped Matt and Jeff win, literally bury them in a ditch. And then Matt looked at the camera winking and said, the man with three H's would approve of how we buried this young,
right,
promising up-and-coming
all
talent.
All this, like, absurdity was
a Triple H joke.
Literally bury people in the ground to rip on Triple H and say, we're burying young talent. There was like a whole scene where Abyss and Crazy Steve were literally like indie tag teams were walking up to Jeff Hardy's mansion, like they're
for the tag team Apocalypto.
To go to the tag team Apocalypto, and they would walk in, get killed.
Literally killed. We're not making
literally
this up.
Murdered. And, like,
one guy got a rock pinned. Smash on his face. Colby Carino got his neck snapped, I think, by Crazy
Steve. Killed.
He's part of the Ugly Ugly Duckling stable.
So what's hard is, like, it's hard to explain it, because I was, like, my girlfriend was watching it, and she's like, I don't understand this. And I'm like, it's kind of hard to explain unless you've watched wrestling for, like, a long time, because it's like, just, like, inside rips on people.
The Rock and Roll Express
were there.
They fought on
Animal
cranes.
Was there, who and I kept saying was Hawk, who is dead and gone.
Ricky Morton may still be suspended in a crane above Matt Hardy's backyard ring.
He was playing Ricky Morton
because
he was in danger because he was on a crane.
And, Road Animal, or Road Warrior Animal showed up and made fun of him. Allison Kay, what's her name in TNA now? Sienna issued an open challenge, and Vanguard 1 came out, attempted to fight her, and the referee ejected him because he's like, you
he's
will not
drone.
Fight a drone.
So not a human.
And his
well, she Vanguard, said she called out anything in the back, and a little drone came out.
who later fired fireworks at Abyss.
Yes.
So she wound up, she fought the returning ODB.
Yeah.
And then the Bravado Brothers also showed up. Oh, and then, of course, the title match. Boston Zone, Eddie Edwards versus Lashley.
Lashley.
And Lashley threw him into the crowd, so the crowd revolted and beat up Lashley.
And then they kept fighting.
But then they had to evacuate because of a natural disaster. And so then they just kept fighting, and I think they're still fighting. Crazy Steve got thrown into a volcano and was shot out of it.
Yep. Anyway, all these things happen. Please watch this, TNA on Pop TV.
It's on YouTube, too.
Is the whole thing on there?
I think the whole thing's on there.
That makes sense.
James Storm is there. Was it the DCC, the Death Crew?
Yeah,
council or whatever, but there was no Eddie Kingston, but I guess a truck driver who was assaulted during the feud with the K came back and got pinned, and so James Storm was really angry.
That's ridiculous.
So yeah, it was fake news reports and everything were part of this.
That guy did the best job. And then I think he might have been an actual news guy because he was too good. It was like too perfect. Like he had the perfect delivery for a news thing, and I was like, that guy might actually be on like the Cameron News.
That probably was Cameron News.
They probably reported on it.
It's like Trump. They thought wrestling was real.
It is real.
It is real. And last thing, the final announcement was that Rebe Sky is pregnant again. That was like the final announcement.
That was how it ended. Yeah, that was how it ended. She's like, we're pregnant.
Surrounded by flames.
Look, explosions went up. Dumb.
So there you go. That wraps up our 2016 in review show.
Yep.
On Brutal Brunch here, and I can say on WMFO Med for 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We will be back, or at least I will be back next Sunday morning. That is Christmas morning for two-ish hours of metal and punk Christmas, local Christmas stuff.
Yep.
So I'll see you then. We have one last song to get to. It is from the band that we saw perform at Second Grave. The band is Second Grave. They performed at RPM Fest and then promptly broke up. But before they did, they released their latest album, their last album called Black in the Sky. And we're going to play a song to sum up 2016. This is 11 minutes. The song is called Death March.
Ugh.
And if you've been listening to Brutal Brunch, I'll see you next week for Christmas morning. Till then, stay brutal.
Thanks for your patience, everybody.
Go see some local shows, local venues, support them. And here is Second Grave with Death March off of Black in the Sky. Goodbye.